Oh, Children's Church. Thank you. Look, they'll do a walkout. I'm sorry, Children's Church. I always forget that. I just want the kids to stay here too, I guess. But you can feel it up here. You feel the power of the Lord, just like Donnie said. Felt it here early this morning. God just in the midst of his people. So thankful for him when he comes and he shows up. And man, that's what it's all about. That's what we desire also. And so praise the Lord. Well, thank you for letting me. I went to revival last week. Thank you for putting up with me being gone and had a great revival. But it's good to be back on the mountain with my church family. I'm just so blessed to be here. We're still in the book of Jonah. You see, running against the wind. Now, when you hear that, don't start breaking out. What is it? Bob Seger. That's right. I know what you're thinking. No, this is not Bob Seger today. This is Jonah and the prophet. We're continuing on in our study. If you remember last time out in the park, it was Jonah had got the commission to go to Nineveh, and he's headed for Tarshish. So he's headed in the opposite direction, and we'll pick up our story there. If you would, let's stand on our feet, and we'll read our scripture today, and we'll get started. Stand on your feet and reverence God's word. Jonah chapter 1, 4 through 9, the title of our message, Running Against the Wind. And the word of God says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had laid down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and what people are you?' So he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.'" Father, thank you for just a few moments. God, I pray you'll show us what it is that you'd have us to learn from this word today. God, hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth for Christ's glory. And in his name we ask this. Amen. You may be seated. You know, serving the Lord is not always a pleasant thing. We were talking about that in our Sunday school lesson today in the book of Daniel, and how the Daniel in the lion's den story, Daniel chapter 6, and even kids, we teach that to our kids, and we all know the story about how Daniel, he gets thrown in the lion's den for praying. They issue a decree, hey, you cannot pray to anybody for 30 days. And the guys were just trying to trip him up. All it was politics. And so when Daniel goes to pray, he gets thrown in line. And you know, how many of us would pray if we got the decree, you can't pray anymore, you'll lose your life? Something for us to think about. So it's not always easy when we're serving the Lord, when he calls us to be obedient. It's not always an easy road to hoe, if you please. Sometimes he asks us to do difficult things. And sometimes humiliating things. Sometimes he tells us to go apologize to people that we just don't want to apologize to. You ever had one of those arguments? Lord, I don't want to. I don't want to tell them I'm sorry. They hurt me. Sometimes he calls us to do that. Well, Jonah had been called to go to Nineveh, to preach to Nineveh about their rebellion unto God. And we left off last week, man. He come out of the house in Gath-Hepher, which is there in Galilee, and he's headed, instead of going east, he goes west. Just forget this. I'm not doing this. And we learned from our last lesson that he hated the Ninevites. He hated them. Why? Because they were enemies against God. And we talked about, if you remember, the challenge, how it's very easy. It's very easy if we're not careful to throw everybody in a pot, especially those people that are anti-God, the people, the group that comes to our mind, these people that we stereotype. It's very easy to say, hey, we don't want anything to do with them. Why? Because they don't like things of God. But that's where he was calling Jonah. Go to this pagan nation, preach out against it. Jonah's headed out. And that's where we pick up. I want you to know, running against wind, this is in our series, the book of Jonah, is God's heart for the nation. I want you to remember that in the back of our mind, how God, he loves the nation. He loves all people groups. He loves all mankind. He sent his son to die for everybody. I want us to keep that in the back of our mind as we study all through these lessons. But today we're going to see that you can't run against the wind. Not when God sends it. I want us to look just a couple points here. A couple things, a couple choices. Running from God first causes consequences. Anybody say amen? Running from God causes consequences. I want you first to see consequences for others. Look at 4:5a. It says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, threw the cargo over, and it was that was in the ship, into the sea, to lighten the load. But Jonah, we'll stop right there. I want you to stop with first, the consequences are for others. Think about these mariners, and most of the time people believe that it was the Phoenicians that sailed the Mediterranean Sea. These were rough, tough sailors, man. They made their living on the ocean. And I want you to see when God hurls, and that actually word means when he sent out, it's the word hurl, like casting a spear. Jonah, he's on the ship, but God has another plan for him. He hurls a great tempest at him, and I want you to get the picture of what we see here. We see these men, these mariners, are the one that is suffering for Jonah's disobedience. Do you realize that you don't sin in a vacuum? You think, oh, and if we're not careful, we'll buy into the individualism of America that says you have a right, you can do whatever you want to, it's in your inalienable rights to pursue the liberty, life, happiness, pursuit of happiness, all that life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And we buy in that if we're not careful, we think we can do anything that we want to, act any old way we want to, and it's all me. And I want you to see that our sins causes consequences to others. Think about that. Think about when we make our choices, mom and dad, when we say we're just too tired to go to church. It's all right. We're just too tired, or we do all everything. You know what you're teaching your kids? The church is not important. And then they grow up and they don't go to church, and you're the one that says, I don't know what happened. Or how about this? Oh, it's all right for me to take a drink, to drink socially. It's all right. We do it in our home. Nobody sees, or we might meet together with our own little group, take a little drink every now and then. It's okay, no problem. You're teaching them it's all right to drink. And then when they grow up to be alcoholics, you can't understand what in the world happened. It can happen. That's what happens. Our sins have consequences on others. We have mariners here. They're fighting for their life, by the way. We do never sin in a vacuum. These men, these are rough, tough soldiers. Sailors, calm down, Dave. It's flowing up here, man. It's good stuff, all right? It's good stuff. And I want you to look what it says. And the ship was about to be broken up. Whose ship was it? Was it Jonah's? No. They're about to lose their ship. I tell you what, you better be careful hanging out with people who's running from God, except to try to win them back. You better watch the crowd that you're running with. If they're running away from God, you know what? There could be some consequences in your life for running with that crowd, except to try to pull them back, bring them back. Look what else it says, verse 5. And the mariners were afraid. Man, these are seasoned veterans, sailors. They had weathered many storms. Many storms, I'm sure, out on the Mediterranean. It was known for its tempest. But this was something different. We're going to see that. They understand that this is not a normal storm. Can anybody say amen? Have you ever been in a storm in your life where you realize that God's trying to get your attention? They're starting to recognize this is not, these are unbelievers. Phoenicians were known for polytheistic. They worship many gods, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But you know what? These guys are afraid. But you know what? Because this storm had a purpose. It wasn't just a random storm, but it had a purpose. We're going to see multiple purposes as we go through that. Not only was it get the man of God's attention, but it's going to be to get these unbelievers' attention. God's heart for the nations. Because great hands. And I want you to look what it says, and every man cried out to his God. You know, it's a sad sight to see men bowing down to this chair right here saying, oh, please save me. Please save me. That's what an idol is. There's no God to back it up. And they're calling out to their gods, asking them, please, what is going on? What have I done wrong? But please let me appease you in some way to save us from this storm as it's raging and it's building. Please, it's very easy as we get into this narrative and we're looking at it. It's very easy to think that we're starting to have this conversation like we're sitting here. They're fighting for their life the whole time. The sea's getting rougher and rougher and the tempest, and they're twisted. They're being tossed about. It said the ship is getting ready to break apart. So please don't lose that picture in the back of your mind. This is what's going on through this whole narrative. To the point that they start throwing, look, and they, and and threw the cargo that was in his ship into the sea to lighten the load. Let me tell you, that was their livelihood. That's how they made their living. These sailors that was worried to death about this storm. You know, when they start chucking their livelihood overboard, it's getting real serious, ain't it? That's where they're at in the fight for their lives here. Please don't miss the point. If you're running from God, the consequences will spill over into the lives of the people you are running with. Something for us to think about, isn't it? This is another reason for us to maintain a close, vibrant relationship, an obedient relationship with God. Not only to protect us from this chasing, right relationship with him, but also to protect others from facing the fallouts of our disobedience. Mom and Dad, I can't stress you enough to live Christ at home. You think they're not listening, you think they're not paying no attention, they're soaking it up like a sponge. You think that some of the things that you're doing, the choices that you're making is no problem, and there's problems already brewing because we think that we're okay. Little eyes are watching. Same thing on our jobs, by the way. Like it was already made a statement in another in our Sunday school class that how we work and how we are out in the community is seen by everybody. It's so important. Because I want you to see something. Look at our next. Not only consequences for others, but consequences for yourself. Look what the Bible says in 5b. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had laid down and was fast asleep. What a sad commentary of the man of God. You know what? No conscience, no worries, no problem. Hakuna Matata. It's a problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata. If we're not careful, that's exactly how we live our life. That's what we want. He's in the bottom of the ship, asleep, while they're up there fighting for their life. Running from God brings consequences, not only to others, but to yourself. I want you to say something. Think about something. Beware of when you rely on your feelings to gauge or be a barometer of if I'm all right with God or not. He's asleep. He's not worried about it. The fight for the life's going on, and this is what we'll do. We'll say, I'm okay. I can go to sleep, not even take a baby aspirin and brag about that. And when you use your feelings, you know what? I don't have to witness until God tells me to witness. You know what? He ain't never going to tell you to witness. He's already told you to. Don't use your feelings and what you do. You know what? You can eat bad pizza and get a bad feeling. I'm serious. You can pluck a chicken. He's got goose pimples on him. That's what we do. We rely so many times on, okay, I feel I'm right today. Don't rely on that. The man of God right here is asleep in the bottom of the boat while there's fight for a life that's going on. Now think about this. Think about our co-workers around us. When we have poor ethics, when we gossip, when we cuss, when we drink and party just like the world, what in the world good is our testimony to them? We act like, you know, everything's okay as long as we feel good about it. We're not convicted. It's all right. Here's the sad fact of the matter. Guys, you turn on your news, anybody watch the news, raise your hand. You watch the news, you have to keep up with what's going on in the world. There's storms going on all around. Some of the biggest storms in the world going on. People fighting for their lives. Things are happening all around. And you know what? The church, the world's going to hell, and the church is in the bottom of the boat asleep. That's the sad fact of the matter. The whole world's going to hell. You got how many addresses here? 1,005 addresses. How many of us have attempted to reach anybody this week and ask them to come to church with you? The world's going to hell, and we're asleep in the bottom of the boat. Why? Because it's all right. We just feel good about it. That's a sad commentary. This is me. I got slapped with this week, by the way. I don't know how many times God brought me to tears as I was studying this. I saw my own self. I like to sleep. Just take it easy, man. Just take it easy. And all around the storms are raging. These guys are up there fighting for their lives. And think of the complete opposite of this. Think about Jesus when he was here and he walked this earth. He didn't live here but 33 years, man. He was older than me and you both, Lee. You were a lot young punk. Man, he was, I'm telling you, I mean, he was younger than us. I'm sorry. He was younger. younger, both of them. I'm talking about he was a young man, 33 years was all he walked on this earth. But think about the impact that he made. Here we are, 2014, man, still trying to reach out through the fleas. Think about the people. Now, see the opposite of Jonah. When he comes in contact with him, what's he bringing? Chastisement, punishment, a fight for their life. When Jesus came in contact with old Peter, he was a fisherman. He knew all about being on. See what happened. Changing him, one of the greatest mouthpieces in the world. Discipleship, preaching the gospel. Think about Mary Magdalene, a woman of the streets, became a worshiper and a praiser of God. Think about the thief on the cross, cussing, reviling, all the way down to his last minute there, and he looked upon God, and what he does? He became a praiser. He became a worshiper with Jesus. That's what Jesus does when he came in contact with people. We have a decision this morning. Are we a Jonah or are we a Jesus? Which one are we going to represent? Is our life and being able to live whatever way we want to, is it going to bring punishment and a fight for your life and storms into the people's life, or is it going to be a time of blessing where your life reflects Christ and people are drawn closer to God because of you? God can do that through you, by the way, and he will do that. That seems to be the theme that God's running through this service today. How we're supposed to be those kind of people out reaching the world for Christ. Because he has a heart for the nations. It's our choice, Jesus or Jonah, which are we going to be? Well, not only running causes consequences from God, or causes consequences for yourselves and others, but listen, running from God will be confronted. Look at what verses 6 through 9 says. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for what cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you of?" And so he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land." I want you to know something. When we're running from God, we're powerless in the storms of life, by the way. You're powerless in the storms of life. The lack of power, sooner or later, will be revealed in your life. People start beginning to see a lack of discernment, a lack of God's power. When you've said one thing and you're living another, it's very easy for them to pick up. I like this. The old sailors are feverishly praying to their God, right? And that's not working. So what does the old captain do? He goes looking, searching through the ship, don't he? He's trying to, and where does he come upon Jonah? Can you imagine that? Get up. Man, we're fighting. This is raging going on all around. And so he's walking down to that ship, searching frantically, looking. And can you imagine he comes up, Jonah's asleep. Frantically looking. Just like the world, he's searching for answers, guys. He's searching for answers. The world around you is looking for answers. You have the answers, and you don't even share them. Okay, he's looking. And please don't miss the irony of what he says. Look what he says. Arise. Remember what God said back in verse 2 of chapter 1 when he said, "Arise, go to Nineveh." So first thing Jonah wakes up, he's in a storm, and he comes to realization of, here's his captain kicking him awake, and he's saying, "Arise. Call," he said. And that verb actually means preach. So he hears those words again that God had already said to him. Arise, preach. Jonah, you're down in the bottom of the boat asleep. The fighting's going on above you, and God's still saying, you know what? You can go to the lowest part of this ship you want to. I can see right where you are. I know right what you're doing. You cannot hide from God. You cannot. If you're trying to today, guess what? Might as well, stop it. That's right. That's exactly right. You might as well stop it. Unbelievers are often looking for answers, especially in the midst of difficulty. Always. People want answers. And you have them. You say, "Well, I don't have answers." Yes, you do right here. God's Spirit, Jesus Christ, is the answer to all the world's problems. You are to live that light out. When you see people suffering, don't buy into the world and say, "Oh, just leave them alone. Live and let live. That's their own problem. You have enough problems on your own." Nah, wrong answer. I'm glad Jesus did do that. See the hurting world. See the answers they're looking for. Be that answer for them. Point them to Christ in the midst of your storm. Please don't miss the irony here of a Hebrew captain. What's he pleading with? A Hebrew prophet. And what's he asking him to do? To pray that he is God. That's pretty sad, isn't it? When an unbeliever has to go, or what we categorize as an unbeliever, has to go to a believer and ask them to pray and get right with the Lord. I love this because he's even got that. He said, perhaps he even realized, you know what? We cannot manipulate God just because we ask God. He's not a divine butler that we can just call upon, and he's just waiting for to answer our prayers. Sometimes that's how we go to prayer. We think that he's just sitting there just ready to answer our prayers. This unbeliever knew perhaps God, he said, would deliver us from your God. Jonah will deliver us from this storm. He didn't really have a clue. Remember, the lot's not filled yet. The gig's not up yet. But he goes down the boat and he finds somebody sleeping. He's thinking, don't you think that's awful strange? He's in a fight for his life and a man's sleeping his life away in the bottom of the boat. The first place, by the way, that's going to fill up with water is where? The bottom of the boat. Jonah don't care. He's just asleep. I guess the rocket put him to sleep. Oh, yeah. Seriously, it's sad to see the state that we can get in as God's people if we just allow the storms of life to rock us to sleep. And don't use them to poor people and love on people. Numbers 32:23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. I want you to know something today. If you're sinning and living in a lifestyle of sin, you go ahead and keep playing that game and thinking that you're all right. God knows, and sooner or later, everybody else will. But the scripture's true. Be sure your sins will find you out. Jonah is getting ready to be confronted and faced with his sin, disobedience. You know what? Since they're not having any results in their prayer meeting, these Phoenician soldiers, you know what? There's time for us to come up with another plan. You ever done that? See how the unbelieving world works? Listen, if prayer ain't working, we got to come up with another idea. Let's fix this thing ourselves. If we're not careful, you find yourself there also. If God don't answer your prayer the exact way you want to, you'll start manipulating situations to where you try to fix it yourself. And that's what these guys, listen, but this is all in God's plan. Don't miss it. They come up with another plan. They wanted to find out the person that's responsible for the divine wrath. This storm's raging, don't forget. It's getting worse and worse, by the way. So they call everybody on deck. Look, I'm thinking, get the picture now. This is not some, they're not just sitting here like we are. It's a riding, fighting, tossing, everything's going on. This tempest has not slowed down. It's getting worse and worse. And you know what they come up with? Let's cast lots. Let's find out whose fault this is. Think about Jonah now. Think about Jonah. If he's a man of God and he knows the Word of God, which Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. Think about that. If he's a man of God, he's thinking, ooh, they're going to go casting lots now. So you can imagine his heartbeat. Not to mention they're in that storm, but he's getting ready. He's feeling it now. He's thinking, uh-oh, I know exactly where this is leading. Imagine the drama when the lot falls on Jonah. All eyes are fixed on him. Look, guilty. That's what it was, guilty. Because I want you to look at their questions. They wanted answers, and they wanted them quickly. Why? They didn't have much time. It's running out. It's running out. Their lives were in danger. They're fighting a storm, and they wanted to understand why. And look at what their questions was. Look, where are you from? Look what they said. So then they said to him, please tell us for whose cause is this trouble upon us. What's your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And whose people are you? It's pretty important questions right there saying, this lot fell on this guy. He's guilty. This storm that we're facing is because of him. We need answers. Please don't miss it. First time Jonah speaks in this whole narrative. Verse 9. First time he speaks, look what he says. I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. Don't say a whole lot. Oh boy, he says a big. He don't say a whole lot in sentence, but he says a whole lot in where he's at. Now remember, he peace now. He's aware of the storm that's going on. He's aware of the danger that these guys are in. And look what he says. He says, hey, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Now, can you imagine that dagger that went through them old Phoenician soldiers when he said that? Uh-oh. Yeah. In studying this, I thought about, you know what? He should have been. Where should he have been at? Should have been with Nineveh, should he not? He should have been witnessing to the true living God in Nineveh. But instead, he's headed out. And because of these dire circumstances, because this fight where he finds himself a place in life, now he's witnessing like he should. I couldn't help this. Listen, the two greatest witnesses that I have seen in my life for Jesus, one was my dad, one was Sandy's dad. They waited till they got the death sentence, both of them. When they found out they were dying, when they found out that life was getting real short, it's when they started witnessing and testifying to God. Started telling everybody they come in contact with about Jesus, about their Savior, about these things. And I thought, yeah, the greatest witnesses I ever seen, but how tragic. How tragic that it had to take a death sentence. They had to get to the point where they were facing, they knew they wouldn't have long to live, and so they wanted to go out and tell everybody they knew about Jesus. Dear God, do we have, is that what we're waiting on? Is that what we're waiting on? Are we waiting on some tragedy, some death sentence, which, by the way, sooner or later we'll get? Are we going to wait to then to be the witness that God has called us to be? Jonah's standing there finally. Look, finally he's the mouthpiece that God called him to be. He said, I'm a Hebrew. I worship this God that sent his son. He's in control. You see, the Phoenician soldiers, they worship Belshazzar, which was the Lord of the heavens. Guess what? They came in contact with the God of heaven and earth. And they were right in the middle of that storm. And here's the man of God saying, it's him that I worship. Please don't wait until something tragic happens in your life before you become a witness of God's promise. everybody shut